Me.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this,
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching, so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good morning, peeps, and welcome to Woke AF Daily with me, your girl, Danielle Moody, recording from the home bunker. Folks, I'm very excited. It's been so long since we've had our friend, MSNBC legal analyst and the host of Justice Matters, Glenn Kirshner, on Woke AF, and I'm very excited about his return this week to break down all of the legal woes surrounding Donald Trump and answer some very real questions. Will we see anything transpire at the federal level with any of these cases that are being brought against Donald Trump, or are we just all sitting ducks waiting for the decisions from the Supreme Court that he has stacked? And, you know, is it that basically the biggest wins that we are going to get is in the E. Jean Carroll case and in the Tish James case? And up next is the Alvin Bragg hush money case, right? Like, is it that, and that he will face absolutely no federal charges whatsoever? And frankly, if he is able to win election, all of this is just going to go away and then get really, 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 really bad for everyone else who believes in democracy and the rule of law. So that conversation with my friend Glenn Kirshner is coming up next. Folks, I am so very happy to welcome back to Woke AF after a long time away our friend Glenn Kirshner, MSNBC legal analyst and the host of Justice Matters. Glenn, my goodness, I honestly don't know how you keep your head on straight with the bevy of legal news that you are now having to follow, but I believe that the last 9 years have had you earn your law degree multiple times back. But as of the time of this recording, Pete Navarro, Donald Trump's former White House advisor, is now required to report to prison by March 19th in Miami. Talk to us about this, because I forget all of who is supposed to go to jail at this point. So remind us about Peter Navarro, what he did, and why he is now getting ready to serve 4 months.
Yeah, Peter Navarro is infamous for giving the coup, the January 6th coup, a catchy name, the Green Bay Sweep, which was a famous power play by the Green Bay Packers when they were being coached by Vince Lombardi. He thought somehow giving a coup attempt a cute name, I don't know, distracted people from the fact that it was criminal. So now Peter Navarro is about to be Green Bay swept right into the Federal Bureau of Prisons. He has a report date. Judge Mehta, who presided over Navarro's trial, gave him a report date to the BOP, the Bureau of Prisons, of March 19. So, but what people should know is this is not a conviction of Peter Navarro for crimes involving the attempted overturning of the presidential results. This is, in some ways, this is even worse. After he criminally participated in the attempt to overturn the election's results, he was subpoenaed by Congress, by the J6 committee, to testify about what he did, and even more importantly, about the evidence of criminality he could provide about Donald Trump and others. And instead of complying with that lawfully issued subpoena, he committed a crime himself to hide that deeply incriminating evidence from Congress and from the American people. He defied the subpoena, he blew it off, and he was charged with contempt of Congress, which is precisely the crime one commits when they blow off a congressional subpoena. He was charged with two counts of contempt of Congress. He went to trial. He went down in flames. I watched some of that trial. And he was sentenced to 4 months in prison as a result of those convictions. He has been trying to delay that. You know, he's appealed to the D.C. Federal Circuit Court of Appeals saying, please don't make me report. Please put a stay in place. But thus far, they have declined to do that. So he finally was given a report date to prison. Now, I still fully expect if Danielle, and that word does a lot of heavy lifting in this next sentence, if the rule of law is applied to Peter Navarro as it should be applied, he should be facing another big mega indictment. Whenever we see the next indictment drop by Jack Smith and or the Department of Justice, remember, in the indictment of Donald Trump for trying to overturn the election, there are six unindicted co-conspirators. We know who they are. Now, that doesn't include Peter Navarro. There are others out there who I think have criminal responsibility. And I will bet the full buck, that's my betting limit, that Jack Smith is not done indicting people because he's already put six people in there who he told us in Trump's indictment have committed crimes. But I think he wanted to try Donald Trump first, get him out of the way, and then go about the business of holding everybody else accountable. So I don't think this will represent Peter Navarro's last criminal indictment or conviction necessarily, but it's the first. Here's the other thing that I have to point out, because what a difference a judge makes.
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
Two people went to trial. Two people committed precisely the same crime, contempt of Congress, two counts, Peter Navarro and Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon also wanted to hide the evidence that could incriminate Donald Trump, so he blew off congressional subpoenas as well. He went to trial. He got convicted. He got the identical sentence as Navarro, 4 months in prison. But what a difference a judge makes. A Trump-appointed judge named Carl Nichols, who presided over Steve Bannon's case, said, I'm going to let Steve Bannon remain out and about during the pendency of his appeal. So his appeal was, I don't know, a year and a half ago now. And he has still not spent 1 minute behind bars. Peter Navarro's judge, Judge Amit Mehta, former public defender in D.C., was not a Trump appointee. He said, no, Peter Navarro was convicted by a jury, sentenced to 4 months, and he'll do what every other defendant virtually does. He will be ordered to surrender to the Bureau of Prisons to serve that four-month sentence. That's a disparity that is really hard to explain in any other way other than a Trump-appointed judge really did a solid for Steve Bannon and a non-Trump-appointed judge applied the law to Peter Navarro as it was intended to be applied.
So let me ask you this, because given that the Supreme Court, and I'm talking about the Jack Smith-Trump documents and the January 6th case, given that the Supreme Court has now delayed, is working, you know, as the foot soldiers that they are for Donald Trump, to run out the clock in a lot of ways on the question of immunity. We're not going to hear that, Glenn, until what, April, I think is what's slated for
April 25th
for opening statements there. And given the way that none of these outside of the civil cases around Donald Trump seem to be moving at all on pace with our upcoming election in November, would Jack Smith, you think, do a pivot where he would then decide, well, since this Trump case is not going to move at the time and the speed that I want it to, that then I go with the six unindicted co-conspirators so that at least I'm continuing the cases in the public as well as like the department. Because again, we're not just talking about running out the clock for Donald Trump, but it's running out the clock for all of these people, because if he becomes president again, everyone is off the hook. All of this goes away because Jack Smith will no longer be a part of that Department of Justice.
It's such a great point about the Jack Smith pivot, right? Should he just start bringing all of these other charges that feel like they have been awaiting the resolution of Trump's prosecutions? That is an intensely sort of tactical decision that Jack Smith and his team have to make. I have a feeling at this point, because we're, you know, midway through March, the Supreme Court will hear arguments in the absolute immunity case on April 25th. They should issue their opinion by June 30 at the end of the term, hopefully sooner. So I feel my sense, Danielle, is that the tactical calculation is we've waited this long. And let's see if we can get an opinion out of the Supreme Court that actually is in keeping with the law, the precedent, and the Constitution, meaning there's no absolute presidential immunity. And then let's get one of these Donald Trump cases to trial before the election. You know what? Donald Trump could literally be in a federal criminal trial on November 5th at the rate we're going. But I think it's a great question. Should he pivot? Should he begin to bring some of these other cases? I think that is probably something that is being robustly discussed among Jack Smith and his team right now.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Walk down the dark tunnel with me for a minute. If the Supreme Court, Glenn, decides to, you know, do what they did with Roe v. Wade affirmative action, which is just throw out precedent, right? Throw out the Constitution like they did personally with their decision to say that Donald Trump remained on the ballots, even though you participated in an insurrection. And that's clearly what the 14th Amendment and the Section 2 that they were talking about was made for. If they do what they have been doing, talk to me in this dark tunnel about what happens next.
I feel like we've been living in this dark tunnel since 2016, 2017. I don't know that we've ever emerged. I think there's some cracks of light that shine through every now and then. But I find it hard to believe that even with all of the bad Supreme Court precedents we've had to contend with over the last couple of years, I find it really hard to believe that they will announce that a president of the United States is a de facto dictator who can commit all the crimes he wants to stay in office, because that also means a president of the United States could commit all the crimes he wants against the Supreme Court to minimize, marginalize their power and their authority. I mean, none of that makes sense to me because the Constitution provides that a president can be prosecuted. Indeed, the impeachment judgment clause says even if he is impeached and convicted in a Senate trial, he can still be prosecuted for the same conduct, which kind of cuts against the notion that somewhere hidden in the words of the Constitution is absolute presidential immunity when the opposite is actually stated in the Constitution. He can be prosecuted even after being impeached. So I think for every conceivable reason, the Supreme Court can't possibly, and I catch myself anytime I say the Supreme Court can't possibly,
because
I didn't think they would revoke women's constitutional privacy rights. I didn't think they would kill the prospect of equal educational opportunity for minorities. I didn't think they would sanction business discrimination cloaked in religious piety. I didn't think they would do any of that because I happen to believe in the rule of law and the Constitution. I have all my life. So, but I'm going to say it again, foolish though it may seem, I can't conceive of them saying a president is king, because if they do that, they're giving away their own supreme status as the Supreme Court. Doesn't make sense to me, but maybe that is just how desperate they are to keep the billionaire Republican donor dollars flowing into their coffers.
Our job, right, is to analyze and kind of look for the what ifs. I'm like, is the decision in front of them black and white, meaning that there isn't some type of twisty, you know, decision that both exempts Donald Trump from prosecution, but also continues to have the president exist but not above the law? Like, is there a world in which they give Donald Trump something, or is the decision that black and white? Either the president is now akin to a king or not?
I think, first of all, the Supreme Court justices, the right-wing block, including the people who have been taking money from Republican billionaires and violating our federal laws by refusing to abide by financial disclosure laws with impunity. They certainly have absolute immunity because Congress, neither Congress nor the Department of Justice, the executive branch, do anything to hold them accountable. So they kind of have de facto absolute immunity themselves. I think it's black and white, but what I will say is they can contort the Constitution and their interpretation of it in ways that make no sense to regular people or even legal constitutional scholars, like they just did in the 14th Amendment disqualification arena. So, you know, I think it's black and white. Will they see it that way? Could they say, well, you know what? Moving forward, we're going to say presidents should be counseled that they might not have absolute immunity, but we're going to find a way to excuse whatever it is Donald Trump did by saying, well, maybe because the issue had never been litigated before, he was under the misimpression that he had some level of immunity. So therefore, we're going to say you can't prosecute him. I mean, I will put nothing past this Supreme Court, even though their rulings don't often make sense, nor do they comport with the Constitution or the way the Constitution has been interpreted for half a century now.
I mean, it's just it's wild. It's wild that we can't depend on the Supreme Court to actually look at the rule of law and follow it. Tell us where we are then with Donald Trump's attorneys in the hush money case, which So the only cases that have gone forward in any type of way is E. Jean Carroll's case, which Donald Trump just posted the $91 million bond, but then has continued to defame her.
Right.
And has done so now on CNBC and Squawk Box. And the hush money case, both coming out of New York. His lawyers just recently have said, well, we shouldn't be able to move forward with the hush money case because we're waiting on whether or not the president is immune.
Right. So the first, you're right. Only civil cases have gone all the way through the system to verdict, and Donald Trump loses every one. I mean, just an unabated string of losses. He just lost one in the UK as well. So he's kind of a intercontinental loser at this point in courts. So no criminal case has yet gone to trial, but we are virtually on the eve of the trial in New York. That's the 2016 election interference trial in which he paid hush money to hide deeply damaging information from the American voters and then committed 34 crimes of falsifying business records to cover up the true nature of those crimes. Well, he literally just filed, as of the time of our discussion today, a motion saying, well, wait a minute. Shouldn't we really wait until after the Supreme Court decides the absolute presidential immunity case before I should be forced to go to trial in New York? And the answer is not just no, but hell no, sport. Sport is my editorial edition. So, and here's why. There are really three reasons. One, you committed these crimes as the candidate, not as the president.
Right.
Two, you committed falsification of business records crimes in violation of the New York state law in your capacity as a businessman, as part of the Trump organization. These were not, you know, presidential falsification of records. This, you were falsifying business records. And three, and maybe most importantly, people might not remember, when he was first indicted in this case in New York, he tried to get it removed from state court into federal court.
Right, right,
claiming
right.
That, oh, I'm a federal officer. And guess what? At that time, I'm holding a paragraph from the court ruling when he tried to get it transferred from state court to federal court. And it says, Trump first raises an immunity defense. Trump has expressly waived any argument premised on the theory of absolute presidential immunity. And they give the brief site where the Trump lawyers waived it. Here's what you can't do, Danielle. You can't be involved in litigation in a case, expressly waive an issue, and then on the eve of trial saying, we've changed our minds.
Right.
We want to now raise the issue so you can't take me to trial tomorrow. That's not the way it works. He waived it. So first of all, he doesn't have a legitimate underlying claim. But even if he did, he waived it. That's kind of the belt and suspenders of being able to reject Donald Trump's present argument. Here's the other thing. He waived it, frankly, for good reason, because nobody believed there was any such thing as presidential immunity. What's changed? Well, since that time in 2023, when he expressly said, I'm not raising it, we now have four judges who have ruled there's no such thing. Judge Chutkan in the trial court and three appellate court judges in the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals unanimously. They've all said there's no such thing. So this motion to try to now derail his March 25th criminal trial date in New York should be rejected. It should be laughed out of court. My only lingering concern, and first of all, Judge Juan Merchan, who's presiding over the case, has been strong and definitive, made all the right calls. He seems fearless. He really is sitting as a judge without fear or favor, the way it's supposed to be. The only lingering concern is, well, the Supreme Court did take this up and it doesn't seem to apply to Trump's conduct because he wasn't president at the time. And it doesn't, and he did waive it previously, but you know, maybe the safer thing is to just wait for the Supreme Court to rule. I don't think Judge Merchan will do that.
Yeah.
And, but it's not out of the realm of possibilities.
Right. I think that it would make I mean, what world are we living in where anything makes sense? But in a world that things make sense, he wasn't president. That's the thing that we know, right? The Access Hollywood tape, this hush money, it was prior to 2017.
Now, the only thing he did, he was writing reimbursement checks out of the Oval Office, which is pretty disgusting when you think about it. The man was continuing his criminal course of conduct from the Oval Office by writing these reimbursement checks to Michael Cohen, who he had make the hush money payments in the first instance. So the other thing that Trump's lawyers are saying, well, wait a minute, he was making statements when he was president, so maybe there's some presidential immunity that attaches because the prosecutors in New York want to introduce some of those statements into evidence. That legal dog won't hunt, but my concern is I just hope Judge Merchan doesn't say, look, we've waited this long. It's about to be argued in the Supreme Court. Maybe we should wait a little longer. I don't think there's a legal reason to do that. But state courts are often, they often feel like, you know, maybe we just need to kind of back down when the federal courts are involved or the Supreme Court is involved in some issue that could become relevant to my state court case. I don't think he will, but, you know, who knows?
When will we know about that decision?
We could know. So the motion was just filed by Trump's lawyers. I don't even believe there hasn't been a response yet from Alvin Bragg's prosecutors. He will certainly oppose it. And then I think Judge Merchan will have to decide it quickly because, you know, March 25th is the trial date. So we're bumping up against it right now.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
And just tell us, before I let you go, this is a criminal case. What Alvin Bragg has brought with the hush money case is a criminal case, which means that jail time, right, is a part of it. This is 34 counts, right, of fraud. If we go through this criminal trial, what would Bragg be looking at in terms of if Donald Trump is found guilty in terms of quote unquote jail time?
So I think under the laws of New York, falsifying business records is categorized as a Class E felony, which carries up to 4 years, but no mandatory prison time. So it would be within the discretion of the judge. Here's what I don't know. And I don't think we can know until there's a conviction. And if we have to see on what charges, on what counts he's convicted. And then we also have to see how the judge views this course of conduct of falsifying all of these business records. There are two ways to sentence somebody when you have crimes that span over time and involve a course of conduct. Think of it as like spreading out one crime into a whole bunch of discrete, you know, lesser criminal acts. Mm-hmm. All of the sentences can run together or run concurrently with one another, such that he would only be facing a maximum of 4 years, or they can all run separately on top of one another. That we call that the sentences running wild in D.C. or running consecutive to one another. Uh-huh. So what we don't know at this point, even though falsifying a business record as a Class E felony carries up to 4 years, we don't know how many four-year sentences might end up potentially being in play.
Okay, so this is something to watch as we head into the depths of March.
Or the depths of hell.
Same. Thank you, Glenn, as always, for making the time for Woke AF. And I tell you, you know, it has been some years, and I can't believe that we are not talking about the conclusion of these cases, for how long we've been talking about them. But I appreciate you and your analysis greatly.
Danielle, I feel like we're still just getting warmed up here. You know, we got a long way to go, but we're going to stay at it until the end, right?
Yeah, until the end, whatever that end is.
Yeah.
That is it for me today, dear friends, on Woke AF. As always, power to the people and to all the people power. Get woke and stay woke as fuck.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save.
UndercoverTourist.com.